Blog Talk Radio.
The thing that I want to emphasize this morning is that even with the occupation of the land by other people, by people other than the people of God, as it were, the land still remained Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. And God knew the abominable practices of the Northern Kingdom. He knew their habits. He knew their centralized, highly centralized idolatry. And he knew the murderous practices that were associated with their idolatry. Excuse me. And so God warned his people once again through his prophets about what would come to pass. Excuse me, gosh. What would come to pass if they continued to disobey him. Now, in the Old Testament, there is the concept of this sphere of action that creates destiny. Something or a concept that has been lost and that we need to recover. A sphere of action that creates destiny. So God's people maintain their egregious practices. And they fail to return to God. A series of leaders, of kings, that fail to follow God. And so they believe that economic prosperity and having a great standing army protected them, and therefore they do not need the power of God. They have alliances with other nations, and therefore they need that. Isaiah warned King Hezekiah about having the same attitude, and that he should build his relationship with God, because they were the people of God. And we're going to see that, well, Hezekiah got sick and suffered great grief over wanting at the time he would die. He appealed to God, God allowed him to live. And some other events took place in the life of Hezekiah that were indeed regrettable. But alas, the great 8th century prophets spoke to the people of God about their sin and how it is through their ungodly actions that social, spiritual, moral, and economic degeneration and degradation set in because of idolatry, because they had failed to follow God as they should. Now, we're told in the Ten Commandments that they were to follow God in a certain way and that they were not to have idolatry in their lives. They were told that God is a jealous God and his glory he will not share with another. They were told that. The Ten Commandments are what we call apodictic law, that is law from which there is no appeal. And it is law also, the Ten Commandments, is what we call law stated in the imperative. Thou shalt not. But it is law stated in the imperative, in order to impose and to impress upon the people of God the solemn reality of this covenant relationship that they now enjoy with God. They ratify this covenant through vocal assent. They said, we will do, we will follow. And so this relationship with God was irrevocable in nature. And so they broke this. They broke this covenant. And they began to assimilate the practices of the indigenous people around them, the city-states that surrounded them. And so this began their slow descent. And God warned them along the way of what would happen. And we read in the book of Judges a principle that was set down in the character of people of God, of the people of God, and their proclivity to do that which was against the law. Their proclivity to follow the practices of the nation states around them. And so we have these principles that you and I can go back and study very carefully and consider the poignant reality that that God elucidated within, so that they might understand his character that has been the divine essence. With whom they have this relationship, this very powerful relationship. Well, 722, Israel is swept away from the land, and then about 100 to 150 years later, southern kingdom, Judah, is also taken away. They are taken away by the Babylonians. Some scholars believe that they were in the final stage, Jerusalem and Jerusalem was destroyed. And the king of Babylon moved people from the land in three stages. Now, we know that Daniel was taken away from Jerusalem during that first king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar took away the best of the land, the cream of the land, those who would be of value to him in a particular way. And Daniel was a part of that. Daniel was also a part of the royal lineage of the time, was part of his family. So, God's people, the southern kingdom, is finally taken away. And the walls of the temple are broken down, everything is burned. But there are articles from the temple that are carefully taken away, stored away by the king of Babylon. After the 7 years of exile, 50,000 of the people of God returned to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel. So the people of God returned, and this is about 520 BC. And so in 520 BC, we have the post Babylonian exile. And Darius, in Zechariah chapter 1, was the ruler of the Medes and the Persians. So Zechariah, that is, this document, the title is Inheritance, because the people of God needed him to be encouraged in their return. And also studying Zechariah, one was also studied, Ezra and Nehemiah. In the book of Ezra, the people of God return, and first thing they do is to build the altar in order to offer a burnt offering, that is the Holocaust offering, and the burnt sacrifices. And along with the book of Ezra, we have the book of Nehemiah, in which the people of God, Nehemiah goes back, he is to build the wall. Both these books are important documents to know as a background, and also the book of Haggai in studying Zechariah. Haggai is also a closely related document. And please read Ezra and Nehemiah. Read about the discouragement and the opposition that the people of God face when they went back and attempted. They finally did. They took hard work. Rebuild the temple, and subsequently the wall was built to under great and godly leadership. So Zechariah can be called the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. I know that Daniel is often is a companion to the book of Revelation in the New Testament, but Zechariah is filled with chronological references too. So 50,000 return, and I want to take a look at briefly at the background in chapter 1 and the beginning of verse 4. Well, let me start at verse 2. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Now, these words are, should be an imperative for the West. The Lord is very angry with his own people. And please understand that what has been taken away during our time. Please read the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah talks about the people, the skilled people, the people of Israel that God took away as part of his judgment of all his people. And there's this wonderful statement in Isaiah that reads, children over them. God removed the elder statesmen. God removed the artisans. God removed those who were skilled in wisdom. God took these great people away, people who truly do make the foundation of culture. God took them away. Very interesting. Very interesting to me and to consider carefully that one for that one. If one would view a comparative understanding about our contemporary time, what has been taken away? And what God is doing in our time? And so, it is imperative to note that man may say, well, I'm not going to follow what God says, and I'm going to ignore God, and I'm going to pretend that God is not there. So this type of atheism is practiced by the people of God. It is practical atheism. You know God is there, but it is the unfortunate pretending since that God is not there. The Almighty does not see. And you will read this in the book of Jeremiah. The Almighty does not see, the Almighty does not know, God is unaware, God is not cognizant of our actions and what we do, God is blinded to what we do. Which in fact, the people of God were declaring their spiritual blindness. Because they wanted, and they had given their full allegiance to their idolatrous practices. Ezekiel calls idolatry idolatry of the heart. And please read Psalm 51. Very, very important document. So, God says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. Do not be like your forefathers to whom the earlier prophets complained. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Now the word evil here is ra. Two words, two letters, ra. And ra means the breaking up and the ruin of all that is in any person's life. And Ra also impacts those within his periphery, his immediate periphery. Those within his family and community are also impacted by Ra. So God said, so this is a term that has been translated as evil. And then God goes on, but they would not listen, or pay attention to me, to declares the Lord, but failure to listen is to hear, Shema. This term is used in Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Failure to hear is a serious, very serious sin. It is criminal behavior on the part of a believer. It is failure to hear the word of God. Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is God. Everyone's a compound. And so, this is a very, very serious crime to divine essence. Verse 5, where are your forefathers now and the prophets? Do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Masad in Hebrew, that means to reach or to take hold of. Attempting to run against, attempting to live contrary to the word of God has its inherent consequences. A sphere of action that creates faith. And I listen very carefully today to the things that people say, to the decrees that are decreed by legal fiat. And I think about what God is here. And in Revelation 19, we read, and the books were opened, and the dead, which is, of course is an adjective, were judged out of those things that were written in the books. Revelation 19 states that it is about the great white throne of God, and God is sitting upon the throne, and it reads, from whose face heaven and earth fled away. Think about that. From whose face heaven and earth fled away. Now, matter or mass energy is a standing wave function imposed upon void. So, early in the 19th century, a great physicist said that we have come to understand, we can understand, that creation appears to be the product of great mathematical mind. Now, of course, children are not taught that these days. They are taught very little about great ideas and great just what has been found in nature to substantiate the creative influence of God. So the word of God overtook the forefathers. Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. Notice the language. When Zechariah comes on the scene, he is the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. In verse 8, he has a vision from God during the night. There are a series of 8 night visions. This is unique and different in Old Testament prophecy. The Old Testament prophets generally had their visions during the day. Here, Zechariah has night visions. So this is a new element in prophecy. And it is very powerful, and it is important that you realize what God is doing on behalf of his people now, that they have gone back and they are facing opposition and that they need encouragement. God wants to encourage his people. And so when we go over to chapter 4 of Zechariah, verse 1 reads, "Then the angel will talk with me, return and waken me as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?' I answered, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lights on it, with 7 candles or channels to the lights. And also, there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left.' I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my lord?' He answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' 'No, my lord,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will ring out the capstone shout of God bless him, God bless him.'" So, Zechariah ministered to discourage people attempting to accomplish a difficult task. If you find yourself ready to quit, consider the assurances God gives his servants. So in chapter 4 of Zechariah, verses 1 through 6, God provides the power. Also in verses 11 through 14, God provides the power. And the oil here is symbolic of the presence of the Spirit. And he can give us the power to finish his work. Also, in chapter 4, God removes the obstacles. This is verse 7. Unbelief makes mountains out of molehills, but faith in God makes mountains into plains. The leaders face all kinds of obstacles, but God will open the way for them. Isaiah 41:15 and Matthew 17:20. Also, God gives promises. God finishes what he starts. Philippians 1:6. And so we can trust him, even in the midst of opposition. The temple project was delayed for many years, but God eventually came to finish it. Also, God rejoices over our work. In the eyes of man, the temple was a small thing, Haggai 2:3. But to the eyes of God, it was the source of great joy. Do your work to please God. Let him be the final judge. That's Philippians 4:5. You and I dedicate ourselves to understanding who God is. We read the news, we read the events, we see what is happening, and we know, you and I know, that God is in control. We dedicate ourselves to being the light of the world. We dedicate ourselves to being the salt of the earth. We give ourselves to being that city and on the hill. We preach and teach the charisma, that is, the good news of grace in Jesus Christ, through our very lives. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. May God bless you this day.